Praise God. Would you smile at somebody and say, he's going to be talking to you now? All righty. We have been doing a sermon series on hearing the voice of God. And what I deliberately wanted to do with this sermon series is not just give you the theory of, you know, you should be hearing God's voice and God's people always hear his voice. And we could go through all the usual scriptures and you've heard those before. What I wanted to do with this sermon series is to state those things, but I actually wanted to get down into the place where we can equip you to actually hear God's voice. And one of the things I've discovered is that when you start to tell people how you hear God's voice, some of them look at you like, there's no way God speaks like that. And I'm just telling you that that's the way he speaks. And so my rule of thumb is if you want to ask somebody investment advice, make sure they've had some success at investing. If you want to ask somebody about healing, don't go to people who've never seen anybody healed. Go to people who've seen people healed and go, hey, could you tell me about healing? Right? Make sense? If you want to find out about grace, don't go to a legalist. Hey, can you tell me about grace? Yeah, there's none for you. So when we're talking about hearing God's voice, I really wanted to make this series as practical as I can, so that I want to put the scriptures out there so you know I'm making this up. I'm coming at you from scripture, but I'm just wanting to tell you practically, this is how God wants to communicate. And I'm just telling you in the last few weeks, the primary mechanism that God is going to use to communicate with you is from his spirit to your spirit, spirit to spirit communication. The Holy Spirit who has become, the Bible says, anybody who unites himself to the Lord has become one with him in spirit. He has become one with you. The Holy Spirit whispers into your spirit, it pops into your mind. The thing that freaks us all out is that I always thought that when God's going to speak to me, it's going to come down in six-part harmony. There's going to be a strange light. I'm going to hear reverb, and then I'm going to go, oh, God's speaking. No, the voice of God most often in my life, it sounds like my voice. It sounds like my thoughts. And so many people, because they're waiting for some cataclysmic event, some profound thing, go, oh, I'm not sure that was God because, you know, I don't think he would speak like that. As usual, we're handing out notes, and if you want to take notes, you're welcome to do this, and we're going to do some stuff, and there's some exercises for you to do at home. Again, because I'm trying to be as practical as I can. I'll tell you the truth. There are some times we live in our life, we live by hearing God's voice, and I go places and people say, you can't hear God's voice, you can't be sure of hearing God's voice. And it's a little strange. I mean, it really is to me, because I don't even want to have the discussion, because I'm going, no, we live by his voice. This is how life is. We're supposed to hear God's voice. So today I want to talk about becoming fluent in picture dialect. Last week we spoke about how the Holy Spirit loves to ignite vision. He loves, one of the preferred mechanisms of communication that the Holy Spirit uses is pictures. He loves speaking. And so we looked at the scriptures that said, when I pour out my spirit on all flesh, young men will see visions, old men will dream dreams, and I pour out my spirit and you shall prophesy. This is one of the preferred mechanisms of the Holy Spirit. He loves to speak pictures and then interpret the picture to you so you get an understanding, because a picture paints 1,000 words. And so I wanted to, as I was talking through during the week, I had a number of people come up to me and share with me some of the pictures that they were speaking. And I was like, oh, that's very cool. This is what the Lord is saying. And then they were like, whoa, yeah, that is what the Lord is saying. And I realized that they were seeing accurately, but they weren't fluent in picture. And so they weren't sure. There was a lack of certainty that, well, I feel like that was from God, but what does it mean? Does it make sense? And so I spent the whole week doing that, and then I realized what we're going to do is just slow down a little in terms of the sermon series, and I want to spend today maybe trying to help you figure out how to become more fluent in picture. Does that make sense? If we're speaking the language of pictures, which the Holy Spirit loves to communicate in, how do we become fluent in the picture dialect in spirit-to-spirit communication? As a teaser, I want to say, some people are tempted to go, because the enemy would float this by you, what's the big deal? I mean, I've lived before. I haven't heard God's voice every day. That's not the big deal. Why do I have to do this? Well, let me tell you, there are some incredible benefits to hearing God's words. In this world, which is at war with God, believers face a constant barrage. Okay, you're walking around, the dust of this world is going to get on your feet. There's lies, there's condemnation, there's misinformation, there's malign definitions, there's envy, there's anger, there's slander, there's misunderstandings, there's skewed values, there's pressures, failed human nature and sin. And if you just walk around, you cannot help walking around in this world and have some of the dust get on you. It's just the way life is. And so one of the things that Jesus said is going to happen is that if you're going to walk in this world, you have to learn to shake the dust off your feet. How do you cleanse yourself? Because everybody knows what it's like to go through a day and just there's stuff being thrown at you, and you get to the end of the day and you just feel deflated and depleted, and there's crud being thrown on you from the world. You go, how can I just take a shower? Not just a physical shower. How do I wash all of that off me? And that's what Jesus said. James said, religion that God the Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after the widows and orphans in their distress and to keep yourself from being polluted by the world. It's one of the functions of religion is to keep this, get yourself washed from the world. Because the world, if you're not careful, if you just accept what the world throws on you, you'll walk around, you'll be full of junk because the world will throw it on you. And so one of the things we have to do is we need to cleanse. Jesus said, you are clean because of the words I've spoken to you. And so there is a washing of the water of the word. And I've discovered many, many times when I'll get into the presence of God, either reading the scriptures or the Lord speaks a word to my spirit, it has the powerful effect. It's like a shower. It just washes all that junk off me. How many know what I'm talking about? And so if we're going to walk around in this world, but you say, well, I don't really want to hear the word of God, I'm going, what a tragedy. You need this. Second thing Jesus said is, my words are spirit and they are life to those who find them. A life is exploded on the inside of you when you embrace the word of God. It charges life. I've been in a situation, I'm down, I'm heavy, I'm, oh, woe is me. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go and eat worms. And I get into the presence of the Lord and he speaks a word to me and suddenly life, full of power, full of hope, full of energy, looking forward to the future. Bring those enemies on. Let me smack them. Man shall not live, Jesus said. You will not live in the life that is truly life outside of every word that comes out of God's mouth. You want life that's really life, but you don't want to hear God's voice. It doesn't happen any other way. That's how it happens. Jesus said that you should encourage one another with these words. It says with a shout of the archangel, with a trumpet call of God, the skies are going to be split open. The glory of Jesus is coming back and the whole earth will see him in an instant. And who with the splendor of his coming will destroy the evil one. Jesus is coming back and he's coming back for you. And the Bible says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. And our faith is dependent on hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word about Christ. So people say to me, well, I'm not so sure I need to hear all of this. I go, wow. Wow. I like the me that feels cleansed and full of life and encouraged and full of faith. I like that me better than the one who feels dirty, who has no life left in him, who's discouraged and is full of unbelief. Which one of you do you prefer? I like me when I'm in the Word of God. So, but I'm the righteous, I'm always the same. Yeah, you are, but I'll tell you something, friends. When you let the Word of God dwell in you richly, both His written Word and His spoken Word, life, encouragement, faith, sense of cleanliness will abound in your life. This is the gift of hearing God's voice. So, to recap, we said last week that the Holy Spirit ignites a vision and often speaks using pictures. And we looked at this, and there's a bunch of scriptures. I'm going to put it up. It's going to come up like this. And we said that most of us have an inner projector. Those inner projectors different projectors will play onto the screen of our mind, and some things will come up into our mind. There's a bunch of scriptures. I'm not going through them again, but I wanted to show you that when God speaks, it often comes up into our minds. There's a vision in the mind. That's what we're talking about. Now, the projectors, we said, were natural sight or natural other stimuli. Our memory, if you have a vivid memory, many of us have great vivid memories, and they come up onto the screen of our minds. I think the Holy Spirit spoke this morning that he wants to deal with ugly memories. Those memories that still have power to hurt and deflate and misalign you, the Holy Spirit's come to deal with those. But many of us have beautiful memories, and they'll project onto the image of our mind. Sometimes our imagination, and I've used imagination for good and for bad. Fear is just the enemy using your imagination to propose to you a potential damage and destructive end, right? So the Bible says don't engage in that. It's just having you pay interest on something that may never occur. So we don't engage in that. We just say, no, I'm not going to fret. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let the peace of Christ rule in my heart. But I am going to lend my imagination to the Holy Spirit because he's going to whisper to me some of the things that he has dreamed for me. I guarantee you that every one of you in this room, the Holy Spirit has used your imagination to whisper to you about his will for your life. And you've seen things in your future and dreams that the Holy Spirit has for you, and they've been so massive that you've just pushed them aside because you said it can't be. But in your spirit, something ignites and comes alive. A flame, it's like a gas stove, we just turned on something and flames took off. And you, in your mind's going, no, that's no way that could be from God. But something in your spirit knows that's true, that's me, that's what I was born to do. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will put pictures in your mind, and that's what we're talking about today. I just want to guarantee you, the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you in pictures. And if you speak picture, it becomes a beautiful adventure of, wow, this is so cool, Lord. And sometimes the enemy loves to use our minds. And so we understand that if a bad or a vile or an ugly picture or a picture comes into my mind that leads me away from God, I don't have to just eat that. I go, no ways, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that thing. I'll not have rubbish in my mind. I was called to have the mind of Christ. I'm not allowing that thought. I take every thought captive. Paul said the weapons we fight with have divine power to demolish strongholds and pull down everything that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. He says, I take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. So the enemy, every now and again, because there is an enemy, is going to throw a thought into your mind and go, hey, let's see if you'll take this. You go, be quiet. I'll not have that. No way. It is written about me. It has been spoken about me. And the enemy will run screaming from you. That's what the Bible promises. If you'll submit to God, if you'll declare what he said, the enemy will run screaming from you because he throws the thought up. But if you just all throws the thought, you go, oh, I'm having a bad day. Oh, God, be quiet. I'll not have that. I rebuke you. That's how it works. Okay. So we spoke about this inner screen, and we spoke about the five things that most often happen to Christians. And so I'm going to go through them again. They're coming up there. A spontaneous picture. You're going about the rest of your day, and this picture arrives in your head. It wasn't your natural thought. It wasn't the next step in where you were going, but just this picture hits in your head, and I love those because I go, oh, is that God or what's going on? And oftentimes the Lord will invade you. He just interrupts. How many of you don't mind the Holy Spirit interrupting your day? I'm like, sign me up, Lord. Interrupt any time you want. So the second way that I like the best is when you're focused on God and you're praying or you're asking him about something because you're waiting and expecting for it. You go, Lord, what are you saying? And here comes a picture. Those are the easy ones. Those are the nice ones. Thirdly, sometimes you have a dream. And many people, about 90% of us last week said we've had dreams we know came from God. Number four is some people see physically into the spiritual realm. I go, I doubt that very much. Well, two churches back, we went to a home group one night, and the lady, we came in and said to her husband was there, and said, where's your wife? She said, no, she's in the bedroom. One of our kids has got a real stomach ache. And about 10 minutes later, she came through, but she was riled up. She was like, she said, what happened? She said, I was sitting there with my kid. He's got this real stomach. We've had medicine. And she said, I looked down, and suddenly I saw. And there was like this little creature, like the size of a dog on his, with talons hooked in. And she said, I looked and it was there. And she said, in Jesus' name, go. And this thing scurried out the room and the kid said, oh, pain's gone. She was like, So she came in loaded for bear. She was like, looking at us. I was like, hey, I'm a friend. And I'm like, but she, suddenly she'd seen into a spirit realm and she was like, I'm not taking this anymore. Don't come near my kids, right? Oh, that doesn't happen. Well, it happened to me. Sometimes people get caught up in a vision or a trance. Peter and Paul and many people in the early church, this is their experience, got caught up. Ezekiel had this all the time. He says, the Lord, pick me up. At one stage, he says, pick me up by my hair and took me and set me down in a valley. He's walking around measuring a temple, counting bones. What's going on? Well, where was he? Was he in the valley or was he at home? I don't know. The Bible says he got caught up. John the Apostle said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and I heard a loud voice behind me saying, come up here and I'll show you. And he says, I looked and there was a door and I was up in heaven and I was walking around heaven talking to angels. And now, let me give you some examples. I said last week there are hundreds of stories and there really are, but I remember this one guy came into me for counseling. He was a business owner. It had been a couple of years. His business had not been making any money. His family was struggling financially. His wife was under tremendous stress. His kids were struggling. And he was persevering with this business. He was convinced this business was going to make money. And I honestly came to the meeting a little bit angry with him, a little bit ticked. I was like, you know what, buddy? You need to take care of your family and you're not doing... And so he told me the woe is the business. And I sat him down and I told him what I thought he needed to do. You need to take responsibility for your family. You need to make sure your family is fed tonight. And you need to shine up. And I gave him all the scriptures. And it was a good teaching. It was well balanced. It had scripture. It was nice. And I finished it. And we're an hour and a half in. And I finished. And I said, and basically I'd convinced him to close his business down and go find a job. I said, he said, okay, I've got it. I go, good. That's the godly thing to do. And we close in prayer, and the Lord shows me a picture. And I see, those old tops, the spinning tops? I see the Lord winding string around a spinning top. If you're above the age of 40, you'll understand this. And then I saw the Lord take it and threw it like this, and it spun, and he spun. And I said, Lord, what are you saying? He said, I'm going to spin this business. So I said to the guy, listen, yeah. I said, what I've been saying to you the last hour and a half, yeah. I said, forget that. Forget that. The Lord says he's going to spin this business. 2 months later, a contract came out of the blue, landed this contract, multi-million dollar. He was traveling internationally, fancy vacations, wife and 2 months later. See, some people say, oh, this is a church thing. You do this on Sundays in church. No, you do this in life. This is life. Oh, this is just when the stakes are low. No, this is life when the stakes are high. When people's lives are at stake. This is how God speaks. This is life. So God's going to use the furnishings of your mind to speak to you. The Holy Spirit knows your education, your background, the scriptures you know, the experiences you've had, the sermons you've heard, the people who've spoken into your life. He knows all of that. And so when he comes into your life, he uses the furniture there and he presents a picture to you. He creates out of all of these things a mosaic in your mind and it bears with it emotion and value and understanding. And he is a master at this, being able to put together a picture in your mind that carries just the right nuance, exactly what he wants to say. And he just does that and he goes, that's what I'm saying. And you get it all in an instant. That picture comes and you go, wow. So I want to just talk about that reality because the Holy Spirit's going to do that for you. If you open your heart to him, say, Lord, could you speak to me? And you're watching, you're looking for pictures. See, many times, and we get to the end, but Daniel, the Bible says, he was in a vision and he looked. Okay, but you're already in a vision. He goes, no, I'm looking. This is very cool, Lord. He's looking. Why? The Lord likes that. He likes it when you look. Lord, would you speak to me? Likes that. But I want to talk about how we can find confidence, because many of the people I've spoken to this week are going, man, when you said let's look, I looked and there was something, but I don't know if it was God. I don't know if it was God. Maybe it's just me making it up. So let's talk a little bit about that. Here's the principle I need you to get. A message bears the nature of its author. A message will bear the nature of its author. A good tree does not bear bad fruit. A bad tree doesn't bear good fruit. The nature of the author will be made manifest in the message. This is an important thing to understand, because when you get a message coming to you, a picture or a word or something, you measure it by the nature of the author. Let me give you some examples. The enemy is called the accuser of the brothers and sisters. But the Holy Spirit is called the helper or the advocate, right? The prosecuting attorney, defense attorney. That's basically in our language. Prosecutor, the accuser of the brethren, who accuses them day and night. Holy Spirit, who constantly advocates for us day and night. And so this word comes to you, and the word comes, and it's got an accusing tone to it. You're an ugly person. You're never going to amount to anything. You're never going to get anywhere. You should just give up on the promises of God. Now, making it obvious, you go, be quiet. Because that would never be, the advocate would never talk to you like that. The advocate who's fighting for you, who's constantly interceding for you before the throne, who's constantly there to help you and to guide you into all truth, he never is going to talk to you like that. He's going to talk to you about guidance and about help and about how you can get closer to God. The accuser is going to talk about how you separated from God and how far you've fallen and how he's never going to have you back. I thought it was quite a good point myself. Enemy is called the father of lies. Holy Spirit's called the spirit of truth. The enemy is called the tempter towards sin. The Holy Spirit is called the guide towards truth. This image comes and it tempts you to step away from God, tempts you to go away from the call of God on your life, tempts you to think of yourself as less than God has spoken over your life, tempts you to become discouraged. It's not hard, actually, when you just look at it and you go, what nature is this? A message bears the nature of its author, always. Let me give you another three. The unclean spirit and the spirit of holiness. This is the easy one. Message comes. The Holy Spirit has a purity to his word. There's a life-giving something on his word. When he speaks, it just clean. Sometimes this message comes and it feels dirty. Unclean spirit. Be quiet. Be quiet in Jesus' name. Be gone. The spirit that works in the children of disobedience, the spirit of adoption. This one says, you know, God's a mean father. He's an ugly, he's vicious, he's vindictive. You should get as far away from him as you can. Let's come over here and do things in secret. That is the spirit that works in disobedience. The spirit of adoption says, come here intimately. God, you're one of his favorites. You're the apple of his eye. He loves you. He loves you, wants you close. The Holy Spirit constantly is working Abba in us, that intimate cry. The enemy is called the thief. He wants to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus, the Holy Spirit is called the spirit of life and abundant life at that. So get a message. I don't know if this is from God or not. Hey, somebody keeps getting a picture of themselves losing their entire net worth, and they paupers on the street. Do you think that's from God? Okay, no. No. But I keep getting it. No. God said, these are the plans I have for you to prosper you and to bless you and to give you hope and a future. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. That's what I have for you. How do you know that's God? Because it's in his word. How do you know it's for me? Because he always speaks to you. Take it. But I keep getting this picture about me losing everything. Tell it to be gone and to be quiet. And every time it comes, pray. Say, Jesus, I just rebuke that, and I thank you that you are my provider. I thank you. Because one of the names of God is the provider. He called himself. Every time God named himself, it was so that you could understand who he is. Because my name is I am Yahweh, which means I am. I am provider. I don't know how you can say it clearer. I mean, there's no simpler way to, so let me show you who I am. He said, Moses, show me who I am. He says, I am Yahweh. Go, oh, great. I am healer. Could you clarify that for me? God wants to destroy, take away all. No, he doesn't. Wants to prosper you, give you a hope and a future. Wants you to have respect in the community. He wants you to be generous with what you've got. God wants to prosper you so that you can be generous on all occasions with everything you need, so that you can abound with every good work. Thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And a word that takes away your peace or destroys something in you or takes away your confidence before God. I go, I know what that is. That's not from God. I will not have it in my mind. I will not. How can you be so sure? Because I'm sure the message bears the nature of its author. And if the nature is evil, I will not allow it in my mind. Because my Bible says my God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he inflict it on people. But every good and perfect gift comes down from my Father. He cannot be unfaithful, he will not be unloving, and he will never leave me or forsake me. So anytime a word comes and it feels like God has left me, I say, be quiet in Jesus' name. I'll not have that in my mind. How can you be so sure? Because it's anti the word of God. Spirit of this age or this world, spirit of grace. The prince of the devils, the Lord God of hosts. I like that one. You know, God is, there's hosts of angels. He's the Lord God of the hosts of angels. The angel, the God of the angel armies. He is the God of, and he is the God of a great cloud of witnesses. And the Bible says they're cheering you on. They're praying. They're going like, go, go. The angels are going, yay. Every time you hear this message and it feels like everybody's laughing at you, go be quiet. Prince of the devils. Spirit of heaviness, spirit of joy. Do you get the message? I could have gone on like this for a long time. Long time. Do yourself a favor. Go and study up the names of God. If you're interested, there is a note on what we did, God Essentials. We spoke about hearing God's voice. I put out all the names of God there that are revealed in the Old Testament. The creator names of God and the redemptive names of God. And every one of them reveals an aspect of who God is. A message from that God will take on the nature of that God. The Lord God Almighty. When the Lord God Almighty speaks to you, do you think that that word comes and God's going, oh, I'm a little worried about that thing you've got there. I don't know if I can handle it. Or, wow, that's a big devil. I'm scared of that. When the Lord God Almighty speaks, he goes, it's just, come on. It hits your spirit in victory and fire. And you go like, pull the sword. Where's an enemy? I go looking for enemies now. Come on. Let's dance. Where's the enemy? Right? Well, I'm not so sure. God's like, no, he's like that. The Lord is a warrior. So something happens on the inside of you. If God's speaking a message, the message bears the nature of its author. And when you test the nature of it, you go, that's my God. And you can embrace the message. You tracking? So let's talk a little bit about measuring the message. Because we are called to measure a message. And there's a bunch of scriptures. Thessalonians 5:20, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to the good. Test them all. Go, well, I brought a prophetic word and they said it wasn't from God and I'm offended. No, the Bible says you should test all prophetic words. Let me just free you up. Every prophetic word should be tested. But don't you know I'm a prophet of God? Yeah, and the Bible says I should test you. Don't you know I'm the anointed man of God? Yeah, and I should test you to see whether what you're preaching is true. Don't you know? Don't you know that pastors have a richer anointing? I'm going to test, and you should test. It's because that's what the Bible says. Don't treat a prophecy with contempt. Don't go, oh, that's a silly. Don't treat it with contempt, because we honor prophecy in the house. We love when God speaks through prophetic word, but we test them all. And when it's proven to be good, we cling to it. Amen? Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God. Okay? So we're not just going, oh, we just hand our heads to whatever comes. No, we test everything. And you should too. We should test them. Yeah, I don't see that. Why? Is that the nature of my God? No, it's not. I'm not having that. And so that's the first thing. We're called to measure the message. The second thing I want to say is reflection will often be needed. Now, this is what we're going to talk to. The Holy Spirit is going to speak picture to you. You're going to say, Lord, would you speak to me? And a picture is going to come into your mind. Because he's using the furniture of your mind. It's going to be a picture that you understand, not necessarily that I want to understand. So if you told me the picture that was in your mind, it wouldn't have the same meaning to me that it has to you. Are you with me? Because he's going to use the furniture in your mind to speak to you. And so oftentimes we're in a meeting, and if we're paying attention to the Holy Spirit, because when you come together, the Bible says everybody has a word, a hymn, an instruction, a tongue, or something. And so if you're open and you say, Holy Spirit, would you use me to speak to this meeting? The Holy Spirit goes, okay, and you get a picture, and you get an emotion, you get a sense of what the Lord is saying. I was a little bit irritated with our previous church. And it was still in the days when I believed in the law, you know. So I had the sermon prepared for a Sunday evening meeting that John the Baptist preached. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. And I was ready to lay the axe on some things in their church. I was ready to go and hack down some trees. So I was just done. I was probably in need of a vacation. You know, when your pastor starts rebuking you from the pulpit, send him away on a vacation. Go, hey, just... This is a hot tip for the church. Anyway, so I came, but I pulled up 5 minutes before the service. And as I pulled up and I parked, I switched the car off and the Holy Spirit said, you're not preaching that message. Okay. What am I preaching? And he showed me a picture. Nicole used to bath her, and I'd take a towel, it was like a little ritual, and she'd say, she'd get out of the bath, she'd say, Daddy, I'm cold, and I'd wrap her in this big towel, and I'd dry her, and I'd hold her and hug, and it was like our little thing. And then she started saying, Daddy, I'm cold, when she was just feeling a little insecure in a meeting or somewhere, and she'd say, Daddy, I'm cold, and I'd grab her and hold her like this. It was our little thing. Daddy, I'm cold. Even when it was hot, Daddy, she's just like, I want your arms around me. And the Lord said, preach a message called Daddy, I'm cold. And I wanted to exit the root of the tree. I never forget this. I learned. So now I'm no preparation, zero preparation. I'm in a bad mood. So worship, I'm glaring at the worship leader, finish. So I get up and I come around the pulpit like this. I go, because now I'm in. So I go, I got a message to pray. The Lord told me, you know. And seriously, the Lord says, no, in my spirit. I'm not even allowed to preach it like I want. So honestly, I said, Lord, what do I do? He said, put your hands on the pulpit, stand in still in one place, and speak gently to my people. So I stood there and I began to preach. I said, I have a message tonight called Daddy, I'm Cold. I hadn't finished saying the title of the message, and about 15 people in the meeting began to weep. So the presence of God hit the place. But halfway through the sermon, there must have been about 250 people in tears as the Spirit of God began to minister the love of God the Father. How many of you would have, I would much prefer the Holy Spirit take over the meeting than you get the axe laid to the root of the tree message from me? So I'm just going, Holy Spirit, would you teach us? But I've understood sometimes that if you're going to say yes, Lord, and the Lord's going to give you a picture, some things are going to come up into your mind and into your spirit that you need to reflect on. You need to think about. it's not always just going to be the first thing, because many times in a meeting or when you're meeting with somebody, the Holy Spirit will give you, it's the first impression, you can just share that and that's enough. Sometimes when the Lord is speaking to you and he wants you to learn a truth, he wants it to sink in, he wants it to change the direction of your life, those kinds of words that are directional or going to change something in your life, they have the power to metamorphosize by the renewing of your mind. Those kind of words, very often the Lord will require you to meditate and think on them a little more because it has to get into the bottom of your bones. Does it make sense? And so sometimes the Lord will give you a picture. You know it's from God, but you don't understand what it is. What's the Lord doing? He's saying, I'm communicating with you, but it's going to take you a little bit of effort. You're going to have to reflect on this. You're going to have to engage. Because one of the things you have to learn is that Jesus did not go the whole way to communicate with people. Jesus gave as much as the people who were eager to learn would hear, but the casual inquirers would never understand what Jesus was saying. For another day. Timothy 2, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs. Rather, he tries to please his commanding officer. That's picture number one. Picture number two, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. Picture number three, the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive the share of the crops. This is Paul writing to Timothy. And he's going, Timothy, hardworking farmer is the first to share in the crops. No one serves as a soldier at his own expense. But he wants to please his commanding officer. Anyone who competes as an athlete competes to win. There you go. Because now reflect on that and God will tell you what I'm saying. Basically. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Okay, thanks, Paul. Imagine if I got up and said, it's my message today. No one serves as a soldier, gets involved in civilian affairs, wants to please his commanding officer. Anyone who competes in the games wants to win the prize. Hardworking farmer is the first to share in the crops. Let's pray. Going, what was that? What's three pictures? Paul said, there you go. Reflect on that. Reflect on that. Sometimes the Lord's going to speak to you. You're going to go, reflect on that. I don't want to reflect. I want the instant, give me the word now. Think about that. Do you know that billions of people have reflected on those three? Billions. God wants people to be thinking about a picture. Now, let me close with this. I want you to become fluent in reading pictures. So here's what you do. Number one, you get a picture. The question I ask is, what fragrance or residue does it leave with me? Because I understand that it bears the nature of, it leaves a fragrance with me. So the picture comes and I taste the fragrance and the residue of it. Now, sometimes when the Lord steps into our life, it blows us away. So I'm not saying you won't feel awe or fear, or sometimes you won't be puzzled or perplexed, because if you're settling, if you're in a little small space and the Lord says, no, that is too small a space for you. I've called you to this and you stuck down here. The Lord says, no, this. When you're in that little bubble, it's going to feel a little uncomfortable. So I'm not saying that every time God speaks, it always feels comfortable. I'm just telling you that it will leave a residue in your spirit. So I ask myself, did it encourage me? Did it add peace or joy or light or life? Does it stir my destiny and call? Does it draw me closer to Jesus? Does it remind me of the cost to Jesus and the Father's heart for me? Does it remind me that the Father has qualified me to share an inheritance in the saints of light? If it does these things, it's probably from God, the residue. If it steals from me or from my calling, it discourages me or puts me down or adds condemnation or causes a separation between me and God or belittles me, it likely originates from the thief and the enemy of my soul. So I test it. So I get a picture, I look at the picture and I taste the fragrance of it. What's the residue of it? What's the nature behind it? Number two, I ask, where is it leading me? Is the focus, is the general direction of this message or communication, does it get me closer to God and His kingdom, or is it leading me away from Him? Does it spur me to godly action? Do I go, man, that's exciting, I want to do this. Many, many, many times when the Lord speaks to me, the fragrances of the beauty and the purity of the Holy Spirit, it's got that selfless humility that wants to minister to others. And I hear the word and I go, praise God. I taste the residue of it and it's leading me to pray or to go and encourage or to prophesy or to strengthen somebody's hands. I go, yes, Lord. Praise God, I get to do this. I get to be in the room when the Spirit of God uses me to speak to somebody or to confirm something He's already told them. That's so cool. That is such a privilege. So where does it lead me? Because the scripture says, you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Does it lead you into joy and peace? Does it feel like, man, if I do this, this is exciting. There's hope on the other side of this. That's great. Thirdly, the question I always ask is, how do I cooperate with this? Can I see Jesus calling me to this action? Does it inspire me to want to pray? What clarity does this word bring to my life, and how does that help me? I want to know these things. So let's try this now. Let's try this now. I'm going to ask, in just a little while, we're going to pray. We're going to ask the Lord a question. We're going to focus our eyes and our hearts on Him, and we're going to ask Him to come and speak to us. And He's going to speak to us about something. And He's going to probably speak to you in pictures. I don't want to tell the Lord what to do, but seeing as we're teaching on how the Lord speaks in pictures, He'll probably give you a picture. And if you're watching and looking for a picture, picture's going to hit your mind. Now, I guarantee you, you're going to ask. It's not going to take 3 minutes. It's going to take less than a second. You're going to say, Lord, put a picture in my mind, and a picture's going to hit your mind. When the picture hits your mind, it takes a little time, taste it. Is its nature from the Lord? Does it? What is it saying? Meditate a little bit on it. What is this picture saying to me? What is it inducing me in a direction, and what actions is it requiring of me? So what I want to just talk to then is this issue. Let's try this now. God has a posture towards you right now. See, I used to think that God sits up in heaven on a throne, like it's almost like a statue, and He doesn't move. And then every now and again when you pray, He kind of looks towards you, but that's how I figured. And the more I've got to walk with God, the more I figure he's that's not what He does. And so you find many different actions, postures. Jesus talked about the father who comes running to the prodigal, sees him at a distance, throws down his robe and comes running. In the Jewish culture, that was hideous. The father would never have run to his son, especially not a prodigal. Jesus, in explaining the Father, He said, this is who He is, man. You come, you turn, you start coming home, He starts, comes running towards you. That prodigal saw a father running. Stephen, when he was being stoned, saw Jesus standing up to come and receive him. Sometimes there was a beckoning. Paul saw beckoning. Sometimes the Father is speaking. Sometimes He's commanding. Sometimes He's striking. David said he rode the cherubim. He walked and the oceans foamed and the mountains shook, and He came up and He stooped down and He picked me out of the mud and the mire. Yes. That's a nice vision to have. Sometimes He's protecting. Sometimes He's shielding. Sometimes He's covering. Sometimes He's calling. Sometimes He's watching. Sometimes He's counseling. God has a posture towards you right now. So what we're going to do is, we're going to ask the Lord, would You show me what Your posture is towards me? And so I'm going to invite you to just close your eyes and you say, Lord, show me. Now, when the Lord shows you, you test it for fragrance, you test it for leading, and you look at how He wants you to cooperate. But when the Lord shows you, let's say the Lord's beckoning you. I don't know what He's going to show you, but let's say He goes, come here. Then go, respond, and see what He takes you. Sometimes the Lord will pull you up on His lap, put His arm around you and whisper in your ear, listen. I don't know what He's doing for you, but we're going to see, say, Lord, what is Your posture towards me? I think you'd be surprised. So let's pray, and then we're going to do that. Father, we come. We thank you in Jesus' name. We dedicate this time, our hearts and minds to you. We welcome you, Lord, Holy Spirit. And we are asking, Lord, that right now you would now prove this word to be true by the signs that follow. And so, Lord, right now I ask, would you please show us what Father's posture is towards us? Ask him to show us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Just watch what the Lord's doing. I just dare you to respond to what you're saying. Respond in your heart. Amen. Amen. Can I just see by a show of hands, how many of you, when you saw something and you responded, the vision changed? The Lord did something different. It's very cool, this. I'll tell you a secret. You can spend time with the Lord like this. Wait on him, see what he's doing, respond. See what he does, respond. See what he does, respond. You can spend hours like this. Fellowshipping as the Holy Spirit communes with you. I think this is how Jesus lived. What are you doing, Dad? Great. Respond. If you look in the notes, there's three exercises. I'd like to suggest that you try them at home. I think the beauty and the magic of this is not in this message, but in what God speaks to you personally at home. If you want to encourage you, if you've been journaling, keep journaling. Write. Journal, practice, train your spirit to receive from God. It's a natural faculty that God has given each one of us, but the more you do it, the easier it'll become for you. The more you watch for pictures, the Holy Spirit will speak to you in pictures, and you'll discover that this is the way you can live. This is the normal life that God wants you to have. God bless. Thanks for being with us.